Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Welcome to Vox Novus, the new voice. When I was blessed to be a member of Paranormal NYC and a guest with other New York-based paranormal teams, one of the abilities I brought with me was to assist disembodied souls with their permission to cross over. There was a wonderful sense of peace that followed, and the knowledge that these spirits were now home and at peace. My guest this week on Vox Novus, Natalie Fowler, also was blessed with this gift and shares these experiences in her book, The Spirit's Way Home, Inspiring Stories from a Psychic Medium. Natalie Fowler is an author, freelance editor, paranormal investigator, and psychic medium. Natalie teaches classes and workshops and leads writing retreats and destination events on a regular basis. Her website is nataliefowler.com, and she joins me this week to share her path and her book, The Spirit's Way Home. Please join me in welcoming to Vox Novus, Natalie Fowler. Welcome, Natalie.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
And thank you for joining us and sharing your path. You have a fascinating path. Like many of us who were born open, you had a sense of this when you were a child. What were your experiences like?
You know, I did have a sense of it when I was a child, but the people in my life, my adults in my life, didn't always know what to do with it. There's a story from my childhood where I had an imaginary friend that followed me around quite regularly, and her name was Darnie, and she went with me everywhere. And at one point, Darnie just was gone, and my mother asked me where she'd gone, and why wasn't I talking about Darnie anymore? And I told her that Darnie had died of a heart attack, and that she couldn't play with me any longer. And you know, that was just a story that kind of survived through the years. And then another thing that would happen in my more junior high years, when I was about 13 years old, there was a dark shadow in the room where I was sleeping, and I just always could feel something there. And again, the adults in my life would just tell me over and over again that there is no such thing as ghosts, and it's just your imagination. And at some point, you kind of start to believe that, because there is no other alternative if no one around you is there to show you how to get through that. And, you know, fast forward several years into my adult life, and I'd always been fascinated by ghost stories and interested in that. But when I started doing more work in the paranormal, I was doing a lot of research. I was writing some fictional stories, and I was doing a lot of research in the name of my characters. And one of the things that I would come across a lot in the paranormal world is that often psychic children have imaginary friends. So at that point, I went back to my mother and I said, "Do you think that I maybe was playing with a ghost?" And she said, "No, no, it wasn't like that at all." And every now and then I would ask her again. And finally, last year, I got her to admit that she and my grandmother actually had a conversation about the fact that I was probably playing with a ghost, but they had no idea what to do about it, so they just pretended that it didn't happen.
That's fascinating to me, because as a child, I had experiences, and I was labeled a child with an overactive imagination.
Yes.
And that label stuck until one day when I was 7 years old, and I was in my parents' apartment here in New York, and I was in my room, and I was reading something, and I looked up, and my grandfather was standing in front of me. And I said, "Grandpa, when did you come in?" And he didn't say anything. He just smiled. I was very close to my paternal grandfather. And he just smiled and sort of disappeared. And I went into the living room and I said, "Grandpa was just here." And my parents said, "You're imagining things again." And a couple of minutes later, the phone rang with word that my grandfather had passed. So they looked at me, they looked at each other, and they started to recognize that maybe I didn't have an overactive imagination.
Yes. And, you know, that's something I really struggled with because I am a very creative person. And as I did start coming into my own gifts, I struggled with that, wanting to make sure that it wasn't my imagination. And I had a mentor that told me that our imagination is our bridge to our psychic abilities. And I really believe that. And I think that, you know, your imagination is where you can kind of tap into this, but it comes a point where you suspend your expectation of what's going to happen. And that's where your psychic abilities come in. And I really think that that makes a lot of sense to explain it that way.
Absolutely. You shared an interesting take about the ghost stories you heard while growing up. What was your perspective of those ghost stories?
You know, when I was a kid, I was the kid at the campfire who could not get enough of the ghost stories. And it wasn't, you know, that I was particularly brave or anything at all. I just really was fascinated by the concept of a ghost and why a ghost would get stuck. I was raised Catholic, and my kids are still at Catholic schools. I'd been taught this idea of heaven, and I thought that it was just as scary to be the ghost. You always hear ghost stories that are told from the perspective of how scary it is to have a ghost in your house, and I always thought it would be equally scary to be the ghost. I was just fascinated by what would cause a spirit to get stuck, and that's really what drives me in a lot of the work that I do now.
Now, prior to getting involved in mediumship and the paranormal, you had a slightly different career. What was that?
Yes, I actually used to be a lawyer.
Wow.
Yes. I had a very creative brain. I was fascinated by ghost stories, but my life took a very practical route. Going through college, I majored in business because I couldn't decide on anything else, and I thought that would be very practical. And I learned along the way that I had a passion for research and writing and arguing. And so I followed that through to law school, assuming that if I liked those things, I would like a career as a lawyer. And I wasn't the happiest lawyer. At the time, I didn't realize I was empathing everyone else's emotions. So I didn't last very long in private practice, but I did end up in publishing through a legal publisher, and that's kind of what led me into the world of books. So yes, it was a different path into this, but my logical brain really serves me well now in the work that I do, and I don't regret that.
Did you ever have to defend a spirit?
No, but I have had a few moments where I can hear myself cross-examining them the same way I would a witness on the stand.
Wow.
And I've had that thought process of, oh my gosh, I'm using my law degree to talk a spirit into going where it's supposed to go. Anything that I thought I would use my law degree for, and I don't know that I'm going to add it to the alumni update anytime soon, but it does serve me well.
So you call yourself an accidental psychic medium. Why accidental?
Well, I think it's more accidental just because this is not at all what I expected my path to be. As I said, I was a lawyer and following a very practical route through my life. And this is not, if you had asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up, this never would have made the list. But so I accidental is a good word, but you know, maybe unexpected might be a little better. But I wouldn't change it for a minute. I think that everything has led me to where I am right now, and I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing.
I had a wonderful teacher and mentor who used to say, everything is unfolding in divine order. Is that right?
Absolutely. I would agree with that 100%. And you know, the hindsight of it is that we don't always understand why, but when you can look back and see the different steps that you've taken through your life, I think it can make more sense.
And my path led me to working with spirit through a series of wonderful synchronicities. These non-coincidence coincidences also played a role in your path. Please share some of those.
Well, I think, even just going back to the having been a lawyer and just a really surrounded by logic and logical and rational people, my whole life, that's really served me well in the work that I do. And then my path through the law led me into publishing, and that's when I started taking creative writing classes again and really working towards more of my fictional ghost stories. And then once I want, and that's led me into meeting different people. And I had written a few fictional manuscripts actually, and I had signed with a literary agent. And as part of that, when you're trying to get your work published in the fictional realm, I was looking just to network with other writers who were writing the same things as I was. And that's how I ended up meeting Jessica Freeberg from Ghost Stories Inc. She founded Ghost Stories Inc., which is a group of it's a paranormal group of authors and illustrators who go on ghost hunts in the name of creative inspiration. And that's how I ended up at the Palmer House for the first time. And it was kind of funny because when they first asked me to tag along with them, I'd been writing about ghosts for a really long time, but I didn't know if I really wanted to go shake one out of an attic at that point.
Absolutely.
And but I did, and as I was sitting in these haunted places doing our workshops and teaching helping people find inspiration through history, I started to realize that I was seeing and sensing and feeling way more than anybody else was. And so I'd better figure out what to do with that and what that was all about. And that's really what led me into the work that I'm doing now as a medium and psychic.
Tell us about your work with Fate magazine.
Yes, so along that path, I also met Jessica Freeberg was working as an editor at Fate, and they were looking to bring on some extra help. So I started working with Phyllis. She's the editor-in-chief of Fate magazine. And I don't know if you're familiar, but Fate magazine is a print publication that's been around since 1948. And one of my favorite stories is that Stephen King talks about how he used to pick up copies of Fate magazine laying around his mother's house or his grandmother's house, and he would read them and get his mother would read stories to him from Fate magazine. And so it's a magazine that's been around for a lot of years, and a lot of very reputable people in our work have been published in Fate, and it just covers quite a wide range of the paranormal.
And I remember buying it in the late 50s and early 60s. So, yes, it's been around for
Yeah.
a long time.
And you can go back on their website. They have a lot of those back issues, and it's fascinating to go back to some of these topics that are in our present day and go back and see what they were saying about it in the 1950s.
What attracted me were the stories about UFOs, because I have another interest in UFOs and
Yeah.
extraterrestrials, and that's the stories that I always looked for and fascinated me. Now, in May of 2017, you started your own company, Spirit Services LLC. What was the foundation of this?
So I had the idea coming back from a weekend at the Palmer House. The Palmer House Hotel is a very haunted hotel in Sauk Center, Minnesota, and there are a lot of stories in my book about the Palmer House. And I was getting involved more and more with kind of the day-to-day clearings, the day-to-day goings on of a haunted hotel. And the Palmer House really prides itself in making sure that it's a safe place to investigate the paranormal, and there are a lot of rules about what you can do there. And for example, Ouija boards are not allowed, and there's some work that goes into making sure that it stays a safe place. So I work a lot behind the scenes there. I often joke that I'm their other cleaning lady. And so I've done a lot of work there to make sure that it stays safe for people to come and investigate. And as I was driving back from the Palmer House one weekend, I had the thought that, if I can do this work for one of the most haunted hotels in the United States, then I should take this further and go and offer my services to people who need help clearing their houses and that sort of thing. And so that's really what launched me into practice as a medium. So I started with just clearing houses and space, and I'm very passionate about that. I don't think anyone should ever be afraid to be in their own house. And I also don't think that any spirit should get stuck behind if there is a better place for them to go. So I that's really what launched it. And now I do readings for others. And I also work with an astrologer where we offer joint readings, Meredith of Earthling Astrology. And that's been something really cool to watch develop. And we can talk a little bit more about that later. But yeah, so it's just kind of taken on a life of its own. And I'm really excited to see where it goes next.
You also co-founded the Paranormal Services Cooperative in October of 2018. Please tell us about PSC.
Yes. Well, as I do more and more work in this area and work with other paranormal teams, a colleague of mine, Kevin Swanson, he and I had several conversations. He's one of the first people that ever used the word spirit rescue with me. And it just really stuck and really resonated with me that that's the work that we're doing as in our paranormal work is rescuing these spirits that might have gotten stuck or left behind. And so we decided that it made sense to start our own group with that in mind. And so our focus is to really promote spirit rescue. You know, we've got a lot of paranormal teams out there where their stated purpose is to go prove that there's something there. And I think that, you know, he's incredibly gifted with technology, and we've gathered so much evidence that it came to a point where we were ready to ask the next question. You know, if we know that there's something there that we're interacting with, what are we supposed to do about it? So we really wanted to promote the concept of spirit rescue with this and kind of launch a whole different level in the paranormal world, that now that we know we're interacting with something, what should we be doing about it? And how can we help not only the homeowners, but the spirits that are stuck there?
Absolutely. And that was the mission of Paranormal NYC. My spiritual brother and dear friend Dom Vallela was the founder of that organization. And when we would go to someone's house, it was to determine what actually was happening, whether it was spiritual or natural. And 8 out of 10 times, it turned out to be something other than spiritual. It could be environmental. Many times we found poor electrical grounding in the people's houses, and Dom and I both had experience with electrical wiring, and we'd make sure the house was grounded properly, and that eliminated a lot of the issues. Occasionally, it was an emotional situation, and we would always refer them to proper counseling for that. And the 2 times out of 10 that there was actually spiritual activity, that's when my role would kick in. And with permission, I would cross spirit over, and only with permission, never without. What were your earlier books prior to The Spirit's Way Home?
So I've got a couple books. Jessica Freeberg and I, we co-authored a book. A publisher came to us and asked us to write true stories about monsters in the Midwest. And that was such a fun book to work on. There was Adventure Keen wanted a book that really focused on some of the monster stories and Bigfoot stories from the Midwest. And we had a lot of fun with that, just because, you know, it's a little challenging to write the true story aspect of something like that when nobody's ever caught Bigfoot or the Mothman, and there's no tangible evidence of that. But all of those stories used to get reported in the newspapers. And so we took a research-based approach to writing that book, and it was so much fun to go back into the old newspaper articles from the 50s and 60s and kind of research some of these monster sightings throughout the Midwest. And we just had a lot of fun working on that book. And then I've got a couple of different stories, fictional stories, published in some anthologies as well. I've also been hired to write a few research-based books for kids. So all of this is listed on my website, but my passion is really fiction and taking some of these true life experiences that have happened to me and others and really turning it into something fictional. So I do have some mysteries that I've written, and those are currently with my agent looking for a home. And I'm working right now on a horror novel that I'm super excited about. So
Really,
I try
a
to,
horror novel, huh?
yes. So I try to balance a lot. The Spirit's Way Home came about. It just felt really important for me to start writing down some of my own journey and my own experiences. And I never imagined that that would be the first book that would get published, but that's the first one that got published. So I'm going with it.
Wonderful, absolutely wonderful. My guest is Natalie Fowler. Her new book, The Spirit's Way Home, Inspiring Stories from a Psychic Medium. Natalie, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you and the work that you do.
You can find everything about me and where to get my book on my website, and that's nataliefowler.com.
And we'll be back with more of Natalie after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going OM? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Be able to go back to the movies.
Introduce my family to my new girlfriend.
For my husband, who's been a chronic asthmatic his whole life.
So I can visit friends in a different state.
So I can take my granddaughter out to the park again.
So that I can hug my 85-year-old grandma again.
We each have our own reason for why we're getting vaccinated against COVID-19. What will yours be? Visit getvaccineanswers.org for information on the COVID-19 vaccines. It's up to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Back on Vox Novus, my guest this week is Natalie Fowler. She's the author of The Spirit's Way Home, Inspiring Stories from a Psychic Medium. As a child, you did not get credibility from your parents and your family. Do you have kids and are they psychic?
I have three children, yes, and they're very gifted, all in their own way. And a lot of my own learning actually has been about trying to stay a little bit ahead of them just so that I can teach them better than what I was taught. And a lot of these stories are in my book as well. But yes, they've really been a catalyst for me to figure out my own gifts so that I can help them.
And would you recommend to parents of children who are displaying this type of ability to get a hold of your book for some encouragement?
Yes, there are definitely there would be some moral support in there with some of the things that my own kids have experienced. And I often get asked about what to do with psychic kids. And I've written an article about that on Fate magazine. And you can find that. There's a link to that on my website. And there's also a link to that on the Fate page. But yes, I'm very passionate about helping psychic children, especially with just knowing that this doesn't have to be something that's so scary. When my middle kid, Luke, when he was 5 years old, he used to wake up in the middle of the night telling me there were voices in his head telling him to do stuff he didn't want to do. And I didn't know that I was this psychic at the time, but I did know enough to kind of mama bear the heck out of that. And I said, that's not going to happen if I have anything to say about it. And I took him seriously and I started to do some meditation work with him. We would imagine a bubble going around his space before he went to bed at night. And we would imagine, I would talk a lot about Violet from The Incredibles. She's my favorite superhero because she has the ability to throw up a force field bubble and be invisible anytime she wants to. And I think and believe that we all have that ability to do that. We just don't know to do it. And so as we started doing this at night before he would go to sleep, we would talk through this and the voices eventually stopped. And part of this was me empowering him to actually take control of his own space. And the other part was I was doing energy work for him and I didn't even know it at the time. And if you fast forward a few years, so that was at age 5. And a couple of years ago, we went up north to Ely, Minnesota. And as we were driving into town, it just felt really heavy to me. And it's usually in those moments where I know that I'm going to be on call that night and get woken up in the middle of the night. Because sometimes when I travel to places that I've never been, I end up helping some of the stuck souls that are in the area. And to my surprise, I woke up the next morning at 8:30 in the morning and my son came walking in our room. He'd been sleeping on a futon outside of my room. And he looked at me and he said, Mom, I woke up at 3 a.m. and a dead guy was staring at me. And of course, with my heart in my throat, I said, well, what did you do about that? And he said, I just made sure that my bubble was tight. And then I wrapped him up in a bubble of his own and I sent him off to heaven. And and I was very proud in that moment. And I thought that as your mother, my work is done. Yes. And I also thought I really wish someone had told me how to do that when I was age 13, because my life would have been a lot different if somebody had pointed out how to do that when I was younger.
Absolutely. Did they ever accompany you on the investigations?
Yep. I've had them up at the Palmer House several times. I've done kids events up there, actually, where we had a whole group of psychic kids and we spent the whole weekend teaching them about psychic protection and how to keep grounded and how to interact with some of these energies and not be afraid of it. And we actually had part of our event, we called it Games with Friends, and we went down to the basement of the Palmer House and we played poker and Connect Four with the ghosts. And then later on that night, we did an investigation. And it's really hard to be afraid of something when you've played blackjack with a ghost beforehand.
That's absolutely wonderful. Thank you for doing that. I think more people need to be doing what you're doing in working with kids who have the abilities to teach them how to protect and ground themselves and also how to have fun in the same process. That's wonderful.
Yes. And I think our energies have shifted so much that things are just easier to see than ever before. But we also have, it's almost like we're watching evolution happen in front of us. I think kids these days are being born with gifts at exponential rates.
Absolutely. No question about it. In your book, you share that there are misconceptions about heaven. What are some of those misconceptions?
I think that heaven... Heaven, if you go back to what you learn in Sunday school or what I learned in Sunday school, there was the definition of heaven and hell. And then there was always the talk of purgatory. And, you know, I think that you can start to believe that as you go through life. And so I think that religion really defines heaven as a certain type of place. And in my work, I've seen that it doesn't always have to be like that. I've helped a lot of spirits who didn't want to go to heaven because they were worried about who they were going to see there or what they were going to have to do when they got there. I had one ghost who didn't want to go to heaven because when he died, his wife showed up to get him, and he didn't like his wife very much when he was alive, so he didn't want to go to heaven with her. And I think that, so I would say that one of the misconceptions is that in heaven, you don't have to see anyone that you don't want to see. And I think, you know, there's a lot that can go into that.
Reminded me of a little funny story about this couple who lived into their 90s, and they passed together the same day. And they arrived at the pearly gates and are greeted by St. Peter, and the husband smells something. He says, "St. Peter, what is that smell?" And he says, "Oh, that's heaven's kitchen and dining room. Would you like to visit?" And they said, "Yes." And he takes them there, and this thing goes on forever and ever and ever with the most delicious and rich and wonderful foods you can even imagine. And he said to St. Peter, "When can we? You can come here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is heaven. There is no time. Eat as much as you want, whenever you want." And he looks at his wife and says, "You and your oat muffins, we could have been here 10 years ago." Yeah. Okay, wasn't that funny? I'm sorry.
No, I thought it was great.
Steve Winwood, Chris Wood, and Jim Capaldi of Traffic composed and performed a song called "Heaven Is In Your Mind." Is there validity in that statement?
I think I'm going to have to go back and listen to that song and get a little more of that. But I think that for me anyway, I think that that's, you can access a lot through your mind. So, you know, whenever I'm doing a meditation and kind of tapping into the other worlds, I think you can not necessarily go there, but certainly talk to people that are there. My father passed away this summer, and I know that, you know, I can tap into his guidance when I'm meditating. And I think that's something we can access the guidance from those higher levels if we get good at that and if we work on that. And I think that, you know, as my father was kind of going through his transition and hospice and everything, we had a lot of those conversations. And I remember talking to my dad about heaven and what his thoughts were. And I had mentioned a story that my grandmother had come back and sat down with me on a bench one time, and I could feel her there. And he got worried, and he said, "Does that mean she was in purgatory, or does that mean she didn't go to heaven?" And I said, "Heaven gets to be wherever you want it to be. And if you want heaven to be fishing with your grandkids on the dock after you die, then that's where you get your heaven to, that's where you get to go to heaven. You can still be here. You're just not here physically." And I think that that's something that can be a little hard to wrap your head around, but it's so beautiful when we do.
Absolutely. One of the greatest tragedies is the loss of a child. What are some of your experiences with spirit children, and how have these helped grieving parents?
Wow, it's a tough thing to have to go through when you lose a child. And, you know, some of the spirits that I've helped that are child ghosts don't necessarily, my sense was that maybe they weren't necessarily children, but just showing up as a child. So I think there've been a couple stories like that where maybe just because a ghost is showing up as a child doesn't necessarily mean that it died as a child. It's just choosing to come back in that more innocent form. But you know, I did have a really beautiful experience where I was on my way up to the Palmer House, and it's not very often that things happen to me spontaneously. I usually have to tap in and turn on some skill sets when I'm tapping into spirit and doing this work. I think I walk around with a lot of natural protection for my own sake. But there was one time where I was driving up to the Palmer House, and one of the bar managers there had lost a child a few years before to an illness, and he jumped in the car with me, and he had a message for his mother, and it didn't make any sense to me at all. And I was tasked with delivering this message for her, but the message was he wanted to know if she liked the song, and that of course made no sense to me. And then it was also at a time where I was coming into my gifts, so I didn't want to second guess that, and I certainly didn't want to cause anyone grief if I was going to be opening wounds or anything like that. So I had a conversation with my guides and I said, okay, if this is truly a message that I'm supposed to deliver, then it would be really helpful if she's the first person that I see when I pull into the Palmer House Hotel. And sure enough, I pull in the parking lot and she was out on the back loading dock all by herself. And so I thought, oh no, now I have to go deliver this message. But I did. And it was just really beautiful. And she knew exactly what it was about and she knew what it meant. And the radio had been switching to a different song all of the time without explanation. And so she had validation that her son was there with her and that he was communicating through some of the songs on the radio, and she shouldn't get mad when the radio station switched inexplicably.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. In your work, have you encountered negative entities or evil spirits?
Yes, I would definitely say that. I think sometimes the evil spirits get misunderstood more than anything. Sometimes they're just really crabby about their circumstances, and sometimes they don't even know that they're dead. So there certainly have been some ornery ghosts that I've helped. But I think, you know, there's also, I think that there can be negative energy, and I think it's the natural order of things. If you're going to have positive high vibrational stuff, you're also going to have negative low vibrational things as well.
And would you consider any of the negative energies what they call demonic?
I think that's a lot more rare than what they make out on television. I think that a lot of things are quickly labeled that. I actually got a call during the stay-at-home orders when everything was shut down, and there was a team that had told a homeowner that they had demonic activity in their house, and but they wouldn't be allowed to come in because they weren't allowed to go out of their house. And I thought, you know, that's a really dangerous thing to tell people. I tuned into that house and I was able to tap into it remotely. And it turned out that it was actually a very, very ornery, crabby ghost that had followed someone in the household home. And I was able to help him get on his way. But I think it can be, I do believe that that is out there, and I've seen it in very rare doses, but I think things can tend to be lumped together in that category when they don't always need to be.
What about poltergeists?
Yeah, I think, you know, that if I'm understanding the word right, I think a lot of the more recent information about poltergeists is that it can be just really intense energy coming from the people in the house. Is that what you understand?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And I've seen that as well. I think we all, you know, our human energy fields are infinitely more powerful than anything that's out there. And I think if we get really crazy in a negative pattern, I think that energy certainly can kind of take on a life of its own.
Absolutely. A lot of it has been attributed to children who are going through trauma and changes and manifest the energy externally, resulting in the manifestation.
Yeah, which would mean they're very psychic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When I would do this work, I always addressed disembodied spirits as though they were in the flesh human beings standing right in front of me with respect and compassion. How important is dignity to the process of working with spirits?
Oh, I totally agree with that and absolutely believe that that's a number one priority. Whenever we're taking a group to go on a ghost hunt, we always start with that and just talk about how, you know, if this were your grandmother, you wouldn't want anybody to be yelling at her or being disrespectful. And just in my work as a paranormal investigator, you get so much more interaction if you use your manners and say please and thank you rather than shouting and yelling and being disrespectful. I think these are human souls and they deserve the respect that you would offer to any human soul.
What do you say to paranormal teams often shown on television enticing the ghost to appear or challenging the ghost to appear. What's the word they use for it?
Antagonizing, probably.
Antagonizing, yeah, something like that. What do you say to those people?
You know, I think that, well, number one, I personally believe that's pretty disrespectful. I understand that for television, they need to make a show of it more, and that, you know, ghost hunting is actually pretty boring. It's a lot of sitting in the dark waiting for something to happen. You know, that's a lot of pressure to be on television trying to get something to happen on camera all the time. So, but, you know, the teams that go out there and mimic what they see on television, I think that's one of the things that we work really hard to teach the groups that we take out on a paranormal investigation, is that there's some ethics and some rules to this, and I would like to see that develop a little further.
Absolutely. My guest, Natalie Fowler, she's the author of The Spirit's Way Home, Inspiring Stories from a Psychic Medium. We'll be back with more of Natalie after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Birthday parties. Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed. Get the latest info about COVID-19 vaccines at getvaccineanswers.org. It's up to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
Look out, world, we're getting strong. The future's here and we belong.
She can stand, she can do more.
Like build a rocket and watch it soar.
Or clean the oceans and make the world a better place.
Cure.
Invent something new.
There's no challenge in the world that she can't face.
She can STEM.
Learn more at She Can STEM. A message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Back on Vox Novus, my guest this week, Natalie Fowler. She's the author of The Spirit's Way Home, Inspiring Stories from a Psychic Medium. As I mentioned in our introduction, I always ask for permission for spirits to cross over. Have you encountered spirits who are not ready to go?
Yes, definitely. And I think that's where I would absolutely agree with that. I always say that we have free will choice in death as we do in life. And so I see my work as as persuading them to go to where they're supposed to. So that's where some of those lawyer skills come in handy. I've actually gotten into some cross-examining moments with spirits, trying to get them to agree to go where they're supposed to. So yes, I think it's important to know that. And I think that's something that when people are clearing their houses or going through, it's one thing when you have residual energy there and you can go through with some metaphysical tools like sprays or sage or whatnot and go through and clear that residual energy out. But when you have a human soul that is choosing not to leave, there's a different level of work that has to be done in order to get them to go where they're supposed to go or more talk them into that. So I would see that as asking permission for sure.
What were some of the reasons the spirits didn't want to go?
There were a couple times where I've had souls that didn't know they were dead. For example, I was doing some work at a really famously haunted restaurant in St. Paul called Four Paws. And there was a very chaotic, confused soul in the basement there at one point. And this story's in the book as well. And she'd been hit by a wagon. I was seeing like a horse and buggy type situation. She'd been hit crossing the street. She was in the middle of a really busy day and she had been crossing the street and got hit by something that killed her. And she just got up and kept going about her day. And the poor dear was stuck in this like chaotic day of hers for 100 years. And so that was fascinating. I had to actually get her to stop and look at me and to slow down her energy enough to realize. And then that's kind of a tough moment when you're the one sitting there telling a ghost that they're dead for the first time to hear that. So and then she was exhausted. So she was ready to go. But it was, so I think sometimes they don't always know that they've died. So that's one reason. Another time, I think there's a lot of fear. We can die with a lot of fear. If you're afraid of some of the acts that you committed in your lifetime or mistakes that you've made, and if you were taught in Sunday school that those are the types of mistakes that are going to send you to hell, not to heaven, then why would you want to go to heaven if you're going to just get sent to hell? So I think there's some misconceptions there, which we've already talked about, but so sometimes there's just getting that ghost to understand that whatever they thought about heaven doesn't have to be the case, and it can be a better place. And there's also been some ghosts that didn't want to leave their loved ones behind, except that, and so that kind of was a level of explaining to them that if you want to be with your loved ones, it's going to be a lot clearer and a lot better if you go to heaven first, because when you go to heaven, you get to come back and visit your loved ones anytime. But if you choose not to go in the first place, you kind of get stuck in this in-between that's really just more an in-between level of chaos and confusion, and you can't do the work there that you think that you're doing. And that can actually be more harmful to your loved ones than if you were to just go to where you're supposed to. Then you get to come back at a higher vibration and help them. And sometimes it's a matter of explaining that.
In those cases, have you ever worked with a spirit with unfinished business that they wanted to deliver a message about something important to their loved ones?
I think it's more... more of the ghosts that I've encountered, it's more in their own minds what they need sorting out. But yes, there've been a few times, and I think that happens more in my client sessions where someone will show up with a message. And that's certainly what I fictionalize in my books, because that's super exciting to write about, is the unfinished business aspect of this. But I would say that my work is probably more focused on helping them get over their own misconceptions.
Have you ever encountered other dimensions?
Yes. It's interesting because I didn't know when that first started to happen, I didn't know what to think about it. But having been raised Catholic, I was raised with an understanding of angels and angels coming from a divine realm in a different dimension. And so when I started to interact and experience other energies from different dimensions and different realms, I had to kind of step back and say, okay, if I'm going to believe in angels and I know that angels are there, why wouldn't there be things from other realms and dimensions that we haven't quite wrapped our heads around yet? So, and I think now with the way the energies have shifted, the veils are thinner than they ever have been before. And I think that there's a lot of fairy activity that's happening all around us all of the time as these inner earth realms are kind of more in our face than they ever have been before. So...
yeah.
And there have been a couple houses. I actually, there's a story in the book about Four Paws where what I was interacting with was actually a darker fairy of sorts. And that was kind of the first time anything like this had ever shown up. And I was having such vivid dreams about what this creature was that I couldn't deny it. And the information was coming in for me in the same way that it always does. So why would I discredit that just because it wasn't something that I was super familiar with? And that was actually kind of funny because then I had to turn around and go back to the managers and say, here's what you got going on in your basement. that was a little harder for me because I'm a very logical, rational person and I didn't know where they stood on the whole fairy thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Some say that mirrors, especially in places of high energy, maybe portals. Have you had this experience with mirrors and perhaps other portals?
Yes, absolutely. We have some incredible SLS imagery and paranormal activity coming through a portal mirror at the Palmer House. It's some of our best evidence. And I think it's on our PSC website if anyone out there wants to go check it out. But we actually had a mirror that we were, the story was that it had been used as a doorway. Four Paws is a restaurant that's been, it's an old mansion that's been turned into a restaurant, a fine dining restaurant. And there was this tiny little nook up on the third floor, this in between second and third floor where they had made the manager's offices. And then all the rest of the floor was dining rooms and separate little smaller rooms with fancy tables and all that. And a waitress, so they had been using this gigantic full-length mirror to block the doorway of the manager's office so that they didn't have to worry about guests seeing in and all of that. And the mirror had big giant feet on the bottom, and a waitress had been coming by and had spilled an entire tray of really expensive dinners all over because her foot tripped up on the mirror. So they ended up moving the mirror back to the exterior wall. And as soon as they did that, it kind of opened up a gateway to the energies of the neighborhood. And we were there on an investigation and we had all this stuff coming through the mirror. And there were two of us, my other colleague in PSC, Nicole, she and I worked to close this mirror down. And as we did, all the paranormal activity stopped. And that was fascinating because we had all this evidence coming in. And then as soon as we did work to close up the portal, that the paranormal activity stopped and the evidence was able to confirm that. So it was fascinating. And I've included that story in my book. And ever since that, I get all these calls from people saying, I have a mirror on the outside of the wall. Do I need to worry about it? And I don't think that that's very common, but I think it can happen. So yes, not always, but yes.
As heartwarming and rewarding as this great work is, there are also emotional tolls, aren't there?
Absolutely. And that's kind of a side effect of this that I, you know, as great as this work is, it can get you every now and then as well. I had helped a young mother cross over and she was just devastated that she died very suddenly. And she was devastated that she was being pulled away so soon. And it was just heartbreaking. And that one sat with me for several days after. And I would just spontaneously burst into tears. Yeah. So, yeah, but it's, you know, it's a side effect, but it's also something that keeps me grounded, I guess. Yeah. I just have to constantly be making sure that I'm taking care of myself and not working more than I should be in this work.
Absolutely. What would you like readers to take away from The Spirit's Way Home?
That's hard to say in a nutshell, isn't it? No, I just want people to know that this world does not have to be as scary as it's sometimes made out to be. And that there is another side to that story. And those ghosts don't always have to be something you need to be afraid of. And there is a different way to think about death. You know, my father passed away this summer, and I just had this opportunity to really think about how having that different perspective of death can really make that transition a lot easier on us, but also a really beautiful thing to experience too. And I don't know that we always do death very well in our culture. So hopefully this will offer a different way to think about it and help people realize that heaven doesn't have to be so far away and that our loved ones are with us all of the time.
And spirits need love and compassion too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the end of the day. That's the answer. Love. It really is. My guest is Natalie Fowler. She's the author of The Spirit's Way Home, Inspiring Stories from a Psychic Medium. Natalie, one more time, please tell our listeners where they can get your books and find out more about you and all this work.
My website is www.nataliefowler.com.
And spell it out for us, please.
It's Natalie, N-A-T-A-L-I-E, Fowler. It's F as in Frank, O-W-L-E-R.
Wonderful. Natalie, thank you so much for joining us. And when you have your next book ready, please reach out and we'll have you on again.
I will. Thank you again for having me.
And thank you for joining us on Vox Novus. I'm Victor, the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.